Good evening, all. My name is Taxi Joe. I'm an alcoholic. I swing in the taxi part of it for one reason, and one reason only, because it plays a big part in the recovery of alcohols. You know, there's many a night we wouldn't get home if it wasn't for taxis. And there's another sure bet, too, that if you haven't resented paying the cab driver, then you may not be an alcoholic. Gary was talking before that he had a very, very good sponsor. He did, too. I think his sponsor was Big Jim. He's not with us now, but he's a very learned man, Jim. He's the only bloke that ever got into my hip pocket. Very clever gentleman. Anyway, I like to see this as alcoholism, and I sincerely believe that I had the ism part of it well before I picked up the alcohol. As a young lad, I was shy and bashful and unable to cope with reality, and I couldn't cope with life. As a young chap, I'd go to a dance, and there was no way in the world in which I could ask a girl for a dance. I was that inferior, and I'd hold the door up all night. But somewhere along the line, I found alcohol, and it changed me, did it ever. When I went to a dance, I made sure that I'd been drinking before I ever went. And then the girl didn't have a chance to even say no. And it changed me, did it ever. If she didn't watch herself, you know, there was bigger and better things coming too. So, you know, I drank the stuff until I got to the stage, I suppose, that I was absolutely beaten with alcohol. And if you got to the stage in alcoholism that I got to the stage that I had a shirt and a pair of trousers, and that's what it left me with. I'd done a job, I'd done a wife, I'd done a marriage, and I'd done everything else that was humanly possible to drink. I drank it all. And I was left in desperation. I finished up in a mental institution called Sunbury. That was before Sarah straightened it out. Every hospital is a place for rehabilitation, and I was up there, and when I went in there, I said to the chap, "How long will I be here?" And he said, "You only get out if you improve." Well, I must have improved, that there was a great chap there, and I believe to this day that he was there for my benefit, and he was there. His name was Frank Fitzpatrick. He is now dead. And he said, "Joe, for Lord's sake, have a look at Alcoholics Anonymous." Now, that was in December 1959. I knew I had a problem with alcohol, all right, but I didn't know what I was going to do about it, and I didn't know how I was going to stop, if I was going to stop, or when I was going to stop. I knew it was alcohol that had put me where I was, in the circumstances that I was in, with shirt and a pair of trousers, and absolutely no friends in the world. And this chap got onto my lug and he didn't let up, thank God. Because somewhere along the line in that institution I got some ambition to do something about it, you know, some inclination that perhaps I could do something about this problem of mine, drinking, and behave in a normal manner and be of some good to society. I hadn't been. I thought that society was here for Joe's benefit, not Joe being here for society's benefit. So I come out, and I'll never forget that day that I walked home from Sunbury, because when you're living in a shirt and a pair of trousers for 2 or 3 weeks, it's pretty hard to get a ride, I'll assure you. And the ego of the alcoholic, I had it all my life, but the alcohol brought it out. And I'll never forget, I got as far as the Mooney Ponds Junction, and it's still a long walk across to Newport, and I'm approaching this big red bus. There's still a big red bus that goes across there now. And I'm approaching this bus, and I thought, well, what the hell am I going to tell the driver? I've got no money. So I made up this story that I was out driving with my wife and children in my Rolls Royce, and it had broken down up the road, and I was rolling around underneath it, and I'd lost my wallet. Well, I was walking towards this big bus, and I lifted my foot to put it on the treadle to get in, and he said 3 words. And I think this was my first taste of humility. He said, he didn't give me a chance to tell him all about the Rolls Royce and losing the wallet. He said, "Get down the back." Now, it could have been worse. He could have said, "Get to hell." It was still a long walk home. I got home and the band wasn't playing because they didn't expect Joseph home for quite a long time because they put him in a mental institution. I stress that. Not a drying out hospital, a mental institution, and that's where I was. Through my drinking and no reason other. And nevertheless, I did get home, and I had this little background of this chap that was fortunate for me. He was in Sunbury, and he was to die an alcoholic death. He did die an alcoholic death. And I queried it with him as to why he didn't have a look at Alcoholics Anonymous, and he knew all about it. And he said, "Don't worry about me, worry about yourself." And that to me was great, and I got along to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's been a joyous ride from then right through till now. It's absolutely wonderful. Perhaps I'm a very, very slow worker in Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't know, or perhaps I'm just not a very popular member of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I do try to put something into this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if it happens to be anybody from interstate here tonight, I'll just say this. I have offered my services along with quite a few others, that if you're from interstate and you're in a strange place and you're having trouble, you got your pens? 391-4682. And I'll assure you that I'll arrange for somebody to come and pick you up if I can't come and pick you up myself. So it is a big city, and a strange city is very strange to a lot of people on some occasions. So if you feel obliged to write that number down only once more, 391-4682, I'll come and get you and make sure somebody picks you up. So don't get in hassles and don't get resentful on Melbourne or anything like that, because we are here to help you, and we love you being here. I can see quite a few interstaters down there in the audience, but they know their way around, thank God, and they've got big motor cars. But anyway, I'll finish up just on this note, that if you happen to come along to this convention this weekend and you don't happen to get called, don't worry about it very much. Because it took me 7 years to get back to the town where I'd done all my drinking, Dandenong. It took me 7 years to get into central office. 7 years to find it, a fair time. It took me 13 years to chair an anniversary. It took me 24 years to go to an Al-Anon meeting. 25 years to speak at Kyabram. And 26 years to speak at a convention. Thank you very much for sharing.